Testing.
Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
Today is August 8, 2006, and I am in Mill Valley with Carol Connolly Budd. Carol's grandparents were early residents in Mill Valley. Carol, you have a rich family history in Mill Valley, going way back before the turn of the century. Can you tell us a little bit about who your maternal grandparents were and when they came to Mill Valley?
My grandparents came to Mill Valley in the late 1880s. And my grandparents had both come from Sweden. My grandfather came first, and my grandmother came shortly after, and they were married in San Francisco. They lived on Bay Street in San Francisco, and they had a sailboat, and I have pictures in my living room of them arriving on Angel Island for a picnic when my oldest uncle was an infant, and he was born in 1890. I know my grandfather walked into Mill Valley from the Alto station before the trains ran into Mill Valley. I don't know for sure about my grandmother, if she did that walk or not. But after the trains started into Mill Valley, they frequently came and camped. I have pictures of them camping on Ethel Avenue and Wildomar at the time of the auction, the summer after the auction.
What year was that?
The auction was,
1890. What were their names, Carol?
My grandfather was Alfred Axel Lundquist, and my grandmother was Agnes Caroline Lundquist.
When and how did they happen to move to Mill Valley?
They moved to Mill Valley because they were living in Alameda and had bought property at the corner of Cascade Drive and Marion Avenue. By that time they had 4 children, and the 2 older ones were boys, and the boys never wanted to go back to Alameda at the end of the summer. So they decided they would add on to the house and live there permanently.
What year was this?
I actually don't know what year, but it was around 1903 or 1904. My mother went to first grade in Alameda, but I believe that's as far as she went in Alameda.
And what did your grandfather do for a living?
He worked for the Sanborn Map Company. He was the superintendent of the Sanborn Map Company in San Francisco.
Okay, back to the grand.
What were your grandparents' names?
Alfred and Agnes Lundquist.
And when did they come over to Mill Valley?
They came to Mill Valley in, they came to Marin, at least, in the late 1880s. And then they came to Mill Valley, I know, in 1890, because I have a picture of them in Mill Valley before the auction, and another picture showing them camping over the 4th of July at the corner of Wildomar and Ethel.
What did your grandfather do for a living?
My grandfather worked for the Sanborn Map Company in San Francisco. He was the superintendent of Sanborn Map.
I believe they bought a large parcel of land.
Yes, they did. They bought a property on Marion Avenue and Cascade, just opposite Eugene and Cornwall Streets on Cascade. and it went up to what is now Wren's Road.
And they had 4 children, is that correct?
That's correct. Their eldest son was Carl, and then Ever, and then my aunt was named Offield, and my mother was the youngest one, Karen.
And I believe at one time your grandfather subdivided some property on Cascade Drive, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. That was opposite where Josephine comes into Cascade. And there is a city lane that goes right through the center of the property that he subdivided. I'm not sure if you can still go up and down that lane, but it went up to Marion Avenue.
And what was your mother's name?
My mother's name was Karen Lundquist Connolly.
And your father's name?
And my father was Frank Connolly, but all his close friends called him Pat.
And when did your mother come to Mill Valley?
When did my father come
to Mill Valley? Your
mother. My mother came to Mill Valley as she came as an infant. The family was living in Alameda. She was born in Alameda, and I guess they probably already owned the property in Mill Valley by the time she was born, and they would come over on weekends throughout the year, and they would come for the summer vacation.
And when did your dad come to Mill Valley?
My dad came to California in 1915. But I'm not positive when he first came to Mill Valley, but sometime between 1915 and 1919, because he and my mother were married on January 1st, 1919. And he had come for at least 2 summers before that time.
Where did he live before they were married?
Well, he lived in San Francisco during the year, but in the summertime, he, as many other young men did at that time, came to Mill Valley. First he rented a little house down on Miller Avenue, not too far from Park Avenue. And then the next year he stayed, Elsie Crudenz had a boarding house on Buena Vista, and he and a number of other young men, one of whom later became my aunt's husband, lived in a boarding house.
This is the same Crudenz that was related to Eve Arden?
That's correct. And he knew Eve Arden when she was Eunice Crudenz as a very small child. She would come to her Aunt Elsie's house, probably even at that age, entertained the young men who were there.
And where were your parents married?
They were married in a redwood grove at my grandparents' house on January 1st. And I guess the weather was all right because they were married outside.
And what did your dad do for a living?
My dad worked for several different railroad companies. Actually, he had worked in Salt Lake City for the railroad before he came to San Francisco. But the only railroad I remember him working for was the Northwestern Pacific, which when I was a small child, they had offices in the Southern Pacific Building at 65 Market Street.
And where and when were you born?
I was born at St. Francis Hospital in San Francisco. And did you say when?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
On July 19th, 1926.
And you had a sister, is that correct?
That's right. My sister is a little bit older than I am, and her name is Patricia.
And where was your childhood home?
We lived right next door to my grandparents on Cascade Drive.
And this house your mother lived in for many years, is that correct?
Yes, it is. The house had been built as a summer house by my grandfather for some friends in the East Bay, And the house was empty when my mother and dad were married, so they moved into it. And they enlarged it a little bit. And then after we were born, they enlarged it some more. It was remodeled quite a bit in the 1950s. And my mother lived there until she moved to the Redwoods in the mid-1980s.
What do you remember about the 1929 fire?
Well, I remember that we went to Sausalito. My mother's oldest brother, Carl, lived in Sausalito at that time. He had a hardware store in Sausalito. And he and his wife were gone for the weekend, and I remember that we stayed in their house at least one night. When we were returning to Mill Valley, I recall that we were stopped, so it must have been, there still was some evidence of the fire. I really cannot remember seeing the fire myself. My mother had put a copper lamp, living room lamp, out in the front yard, and I remember seeing that in the yard when we returned to the house.
Did she make any other preparations for any of her household effects?
Actually, she did. I don't remember it, but she told the story afterwards of putting all of her good china, the Haviland china, in the bathtub, which was on the second story, not the same story as where the china was kept, so it involved some carrying. And she filled the bathtub with water, but her idea was that the china would be safe if the house burned.
You were pretty little. Do you remember seeing the smoke and the flames?
No, I don't. I really don't remember that at all. I was 3 years old.
And how did you get to Sausalito?
We did not have a car at that time, but my uncle, who still lived next door with my grandparents, had a small Chevrolet coupe. And every so often, apparently, he would let my mother and dad used the car, and my mother was the driver. She had taken lessons in 1919 when my grandfather bought a car, and he wanted her to be the driver for my grandmother when he was not available. And so until my dad bought a car in 1929, he did not do the driving. He didn't learn to drive until he bought the car in 1929.
Do you remember the Mountain Railroad at all?
I don't remember riding on it, and I don't really remember very much about it. I do remember the tracks going across downtown, going across Throckmorton, but I'm not sure that I remember them at the time that the trains were still running on them. I do remember where the shops were in the Port and Madera Avenue area, and I remember that many people whose property bordered on the tracks going up through Blythedale Canyon bought, I presume they bought some of the property and did add it onto their property.
What kind of a town was Mill Valley when you grew up here?
It was definitely a small town, and I would pretty much say that it was a suburb of San Francisco. We did know people whose parents worked in town, in Mill Valley, but most of our friends' parents worked in San Francisco and commuted on the trains and the ferry boats. It was a very, in retrospect, a very nice town in which to have grown up. You would go downtown and everyone knew your name, and you were certainly pretty safe downtown.
Where did your mother do her grocery shopping?
There was a market called the Pacific Market, which was just a couple of doors down from the coffee house that's at the corner of Miller and Throckmorton. And although it was called Pacific Market, everyone called it Oppenheimer's because the Oppenheimers were the people who owned it. And my mother enjoyed driving the car downtown, I believe, and doing the shopping herself, although many people would phone. In fact, my grandmother usually phoned and gave an order, and the delivery person would bring it right into your kitchen.
What hardware store did you go to?
We went to Tamalpais Hardware, which was also right in that section. It was owned by Mr. Tiemann and Mr. Dukes. And we had an ice box until sometime in the early 1930s. And either Mr. Tiemann or Mr. Dukes would make a delivery of the ice. They would have to climb 108 stairs from Cascade Drive up to our house, and then they would come right into the back porch and put the ice in the ice box. It was a 25-pound chunk of ice, so they must have had to do that at least once a week, possibly even more often. But 25 pounds of ice was 25 cents, all delivered right to your box.
And that was at 209 Cascade Drive?
That's correct.
Now, what drugstore did your parents go to?
We went to Lockwood's drugstore, which was on the corner of Miller and Rockmore.
Do you by any chance remember the big scale in there that all the children in town would go in and weigh themselves?
Yes, I do remember the scale. I also remember that the people who worked there always knew your name, and I remember that there was a telephone that was not right out in plain sight, but it was near the front of the store, and you could just go in and use that telephone after school and call your mother and ask if it was okay if you went home with a friend.
Do you remember Espasti's by any chance?
Oh yes, I remember Espasti's was just up the street from Lockwood's, where Ginestra is now, and the prices, I guess, were comparable at Espasti's too when we were comparable for the times, I should say. When we were in 7th and 8th grade, one of our big thrills was that once a week we could buy our lunch at Espasti's, and you could have a hamburger and a milkshake for 25 cents. If you bought them separately, they were 15 cents each. But a whole group of us would go down from Old Mill School and buy lunch on Wednesdays. You could go any day, but Wednesday happened to be our going downtown day for lunch. Every other day we had to go home for lunch.
Do you remember them making ice cream in the window?
Yes, I do. And I remember something called a Big Moon. And the Big Moon was a round bar that they made, vanilla ice cream covered with chocolate. It had a little wooden spoon stuck into it. And if you were very, very lucky, you got a Big Moon that had a wooden spoon that said free, and that meant you could come back and get another one.
Do you remember the depot when the trains came in?
Oh yes, I do. I remember very well what it looked like with the trains coming almost up to the building, just a small space, well, enough space to walk, but space between the trains and the depot. And the Railway Express right next to it.
And of course you must remember the Greyhound buses coming into Mill Valley when the trains went off?
Yes, I do. I remember right after I graduated from high school in 1943, I started working in San Francisco that summer, and most of my friends did, and by that time the Greyhound buses were running, and we all rode over on the bus together. I'm sure we were very popular with the real commuters.
What schools did you attend in Mill Valley?
Well, I started at Summit School, started kindergarten at Summit School, and went there through the low sixth grade. We had the grades divided in those days. There was low sixth and high sixth. And ordinarily, after low sixth, you went to Old Mill for the upper grades, but when I was ready for high sixth, it was being remodeled to make it earthquake-proof. So I went down to Park School for high sixth and the beginning of low seventh, and then Old Mill was ready, and I went there until the beginning of high eighth, and at that time they had just completed the part of Park School, the building that is at the corner of Blythedale and Elm, and that's where I went for the high eighth.
Who were some of the outstanding teachers that you have in Mill Valley School?
The one I really remember the most as being outstanding was Edith Recomini. She was the person we had for English in seventh and eighth grade. The schools were what they called departmental in those days for the upper elementary grades, and the students stayed in the same classroom, but the teachers moved from room to room. And so Edith Recomini was the one who taught English to high sixth, seventh, and eighth grades. I also, of course, remember Belle Abraham, who at that time we thought was ancient because she had taught my eldest uncle at Summit School, and my mother's other siblings and my mother. In retrospect, I know she was much, much younger than I am now, certainly.
She was a very gentle person, wasn't she?
She was a very gentle person, and I think she was a pretty good teacher, or else we just learned without much to do in those days.
And where did you go to high school?
I started at Tamalpais High School in January of 1940, and I went there for the spring semester, and then my sister and I went to boarding school at Ursuline High School in Santa Rosa.
And where were your college days spent?
I went to Dominican College in San Rafael.
And you got your teaching credential there?
That's correct.
What were your memories of World War II?
Well, I remember the day of Pearl Harbor. It was a weekend that we were home from Ursuline for the weekend. And my sister had a friend visiting who lived in San Francisco. So in the evening on Sunday, we drove across the Golden Gate Bridge and took her home, and then came back across the bridge home again. And everyone was a little bit apprehensive going across the bridge and going to San Francisco. And also my dad, office at that time was in Sausalito, and one of his responsibilities was arranging for the protection of the tunnels and bridges and everything all the way on the Northwestern Pacific Line up to Eureka, as well as the interurban service that was still running. And he was at his office after dark one of the first nights, and there was terrible noise like bombing and flashing lights, and as it turned out, it was a thunder and lightning storm. But it's that apprehension that I think I remember. Everyone that I recall really had the feeling that what happened at Pearl Harbor was going to happen here.
Do you remember any of the Japanese community that lived on Bernard Street?
Yes, I remember them very well. I went to kindergarten with Akiko, well, with Betty Shibata. We called her Akiko when we were young, and I still guess I call her Akiko when I see her. But in fact, she's probably one of my oldest friends because we played together before we even went to kindergarten. But she and her sister had gone to Japan shortly before the war started, probably a year and a half before. And her aunt and uncle, with whom they had lived, still lived in Mill Valley. So I remember their coming, and actually her aunt coming to the house and saying that her uncle had been sent away. And sometime afterward, she and the eldest niece, who had remained here, were sent away. And all throughout the war, my mother corresponded with them and sent Christmas gifts and that sort of thing.
That was Natsu and Yoko?
That was Natsu and Yoko, yes.
And their oldest niece was True?
That's correct.
When and who did you marry, Carol?
I married a man named Frank Buds in 1964. He lived in San Francisco. And at the time we were married, I moved into his apartment, which was about a block and a half from Mission Dolores.
And did you have any children?
Yes, we have one son, Andrew, who lives in Tiburon now.
And what does Andrew do for a living?
Andrew is in construction, and he is quite a water sports enthusiast. He did work in a water sports store right near the Presidio for quite a few years. He's a great surfer, windsurfer, kite surfer, and recently he has become very knowledgeable about hiking on Mount Tamalpais. He knows the trails better than I do now.
And where did you teach school?
I started teaching in Mill Valley right after I graduated from Dominican. And it was 1948 when they were just really feeling the influx of children, and we were on double session. While Alto School was being completed, I taught at Park School. I shared a room with Edna McGuire. She taught in the morning, and then she and her class left, and my class and I started.
What grade were you teaching?
I was teaching third grade. And in those days, we still had the low and high designation, so I started out with low third and high third in the fall. So in the spring, I had high third and low fourth, which meant that I kept my fourth graders for an extra hour after the third graders went home. The next year, I believe I taught second and third, but all the time I taught in Mill Valley. Other than that first year, I taught primary grades, either second or third, and I taught at Strawberry Point School after 5 years at Alto School.
And I believe in those days that you had yard duty and bus duty, and you didn't have a teacher's aide helping you, and you had a big class?
Every one of those things is correct.
How many were in your average class?
I would say the average was probably 34, 35.
And then later on you taught for the Marin County Schools, is that correct?
That's correct. I stopped teaching when my son was born, and at that time I was teaching in San Leandro, and it had always been easy for any teacher to obtain a job. In fact, I stopped at the end of February, the year that he was born, and they hadn't even been able to replace me until a week before I was leaving. So it never occurred to me that I would ever be looking for a teaching job. But it was difficult to get, it was not only difficult, it was impossible to get a teaching job in the 1970s. And so I went to a program that was offered through the Bryn County Office of Education to upgrade my office skills. And as a result of that, I got a job working for Marin County Office of Education, which led to teaching the office skills program in a few years.
And who was the superintendent of schools?
The superintendent of schools was Virgil Hollis when I started, and Byron Mosey was the superintendent at the time I retired.
I guess you've seen a lot of changes in education over the years.
Yes, I have. I do some volunteer work now where I take children on tours of Luther Burbank Home and Gardens in Santa Rosa, and I'm so impressed with the way second and third graders can read. They are so much better readers than children were at the time that I was teaching primary grades, and they start their readiness, I guess, in at a preschool level, and they're learning to read and write in kindergarten.
How has Mill Valley changed over the years, Carol?
I guess what I notice more than anything else is the traffic. It just, well, it's not only when you hit the Marin County line, it has gone north in the 11 years that I've been in Santa Rosa. It's just incredible how the traffic has increased up there. But when you turn into Mill Valley, you're just in a line of traffic all the way into downtown. And it does seem much more built up to me also. It has not changed too much in Cascade Canyon. Once in a great while, if I have a family member with me, we will park over near our former home, and we walk up in Cascade Canyon. Well, the trail to the Cascades is pretty much the same as it always was.
Didn't you lead hikes for the Mill Valley Parks and Recreation?
Yes, I did. I retired in 1992, and I started walking around Mill Valley a great deal. At that time, I was living in a little house on Throckmorton, and I got the idea of having other people learn about the numerous lanes that still exist in Mill Valley. And so I presented it to the recreation department, and we started out with four different walks. And I think the walks lasted about an hour and a half or 2 hours, and the idea was to take people up and down the different stair systems and lanes in a certain part of town, and then the next week we would go to a different part. And in addition to doing the walking and introducing them to those areas, I would tell them a little of the history of the area.
What areas did you go?
The first one we did was down in the park area. We started at Park School and walked down Elm and then Locust and over to, actually there are lanes that take you right across Willow to Miller Avenue, and then we would cross Miller Avenue and go up a set of stairs to Ethel Avenue. Shall I give you all the details of one hike?
No, what other areas?
Then there was one in Blythedale Canyon, and one on the Middle Ridge, and one in Cascade Canyon. And the first set of four was successful enough so that ultimately there were five others. And there was a second one in Cascade Canyon, a different side of the canyon. There was one in the where we started down near Boyle Park, and it included Bolsa and a section of Hillside, and over near the golf course and tennis club. And there was one, the final one was, or the ninth one I should say, was in Homestead, and we started way up in Homestead near Stolte Grove, and then we climbed up out of Homestead on the Pixie Trail and did a little section up toward the Pipeline Trail.
Have you seen the new map that's been published?
No, I haven't, and I would enjoy seeing that.
In retrospect, can we go back to Cascade Canyon and some of your neighbors?
Yes, we could do that. Right next door to us, 229 Cascade, was the house where the Woods lived, Ethel and Ed Wood, and their son Edwin, who was about a year older than my sister. And he was actually the only child in our immediate neighborhood when we were small children. Across the street, there were some people named Bryant whose children were considerably older. They were at least in high school, if not older. And above them was where Melvin Kleiss and his family lived. And his father, Harvey Kleiss, their property was just kind of made Melvin's property L-shaped from Harvey Kleiss's, which went all the way to Throckmorton. There was a house across the street on Marion Avenue, which was made into apartments. It had been the Newbegin House, but I don't really remember the names of it. Any of the neighbors at the time that we were children. It was owned by someone named Stallo, and later some people named Kelly remodeled it and owned it. Dr. Renz lived right next door to my grandparents, and Renz Road, of course, is named after him. And another house that's off of Renz Road, which was kind of around the corner above the Woods' house, was the Brooks' house.
What about the Staples? I have a little picture here of the barn that was on the Staples property.
The Staples lived about the distance of two city blocks farther up Cascade Drive when we did, and it was far enough, and the terrain was wooded, and the houses were all a distance from the street, so that the children didn't play out on the street. My sister and I just loved to go to my mother's friends' houses with friends who lived on Sunnyside, such as the Shawbles, Mountain View, such as the Kalers, because we could play with all the neighborhood children, and we didn't have that kind of atmosphere up on Cascade.
You were a member of the Mill Valley Historical Society, or are a member of the Historical Society, and have been for many years, and you were also on the board of the Historical Society. In what capacity did you serve on the board?
Well, the first year I was on the board, Bud Ortman was the president, and he had a little assignment for each of us, and my assignment was to do oral history. I must say I did not do too many interviews, but I did lots of transcription.
You were editor of the Walk into History guidebook for many years. Do you remember how many years you did that?
I really can't tell you how many years. I know I started sometime in the 1980s, and I believe it was probably about 4 or 5 years after they started doing the walks.
Well, your wonderful memories of the areas in Mill Valley really enhance these walks. And you served as a guide for many, many years, too.
Yes, I did, and I really enjoyed it. The entire experience of writing the guidebooks and doing the walks was always very enjoyable.
Now, when did you leave Mill Valley?
I left Mill Valley in 1995. And moved to Santa Rosa.
Was it very hard for you to leave the valley after so many years being here?
In retrospect, it is very hard, but it wasn't so hard at the time. I'm a person who does not like moving. I make a career out of moving so that the months before the move are just so terrible, getting everything ready, and then as soon as I get there, I have to unpack everything immediately, so the first couple of weeks are so terrible that it wasn't that hard leaving Mill Valley because I had so much to do. But I can't help but say if I had my, quote, brothers, I would live in Mill Valley.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with us that we haven't covered?
I actually can't think of anything, Jean.
Well, Carol, it's been wonderful talking to you, and we appreciate you driving down here from Santa Rosa today, and we thank you for this interview. We thank you for the Historical Society Board and for the Historical Society for adding this oral history to our collection.
Well, I thank you for doing it, and it's kind of fun that you're the one who did it.
Okay.
All right. Still going.